When the leading Democratic candidates for president meet for their third debate next Saturday, they're likely to face off about who will be tougher on Wall Street. Republican candidates have been consumed with crafting response to the terror threat, but Democratic primary voters have something completely different on their minds: big money. WNYC's Andrew Bernstein reports the issue is central to voters in the first-in-the-nation primary in New Hampshire.
At Marge's Dream Diner in Manchester, retiree Edward St. Cyr is ordering the big breakfast.
I grew up at a time it was beautiful, you know. I wish I could just travel back there.
The eggs are fresh, the coffee's hot, and the opinions tempered. About a month ago, St. Cyr went to hear Hillary Clinton speak nearby.
I like the idea of how she wants to help the middle class come back. I was middle class, you know. I had two kids, you know, three houses.
He says he'll probably vote for Clinton in the primary, but he had kind words for her main opponent, Bernie Sanders.
I like where he's not taking any campaign money, where he has his own voice. Nobody is telling him what to say.
I find this a lot. Many Democratic voters in New Hampshire say they're for Clinton but admire Sanders, or vice versa. But there is one persistent doubt about Clinton.
Too many relationships with Wall Street and big corporations.
I don't really like her stance with Wall Street and where she stands there.
I think she's a corporate Democrat.
I'm a little worried about her ties to Wall Street, you know, which I don't understand fully. Bernie's the total opposite of that.
Sanders makes a simple argument. He's the candidate that's really against the billionaires because, unlike Clinton, he won't take their money. At the last debate, he landed his most powerful blow, making that point.
I mean, you know, let's not be naive about it. Why over her political career has Wall Street been the major campaign contributor to Hillary Clinton? Now, maybe they're dumb and they don't know what they're going to get, but I don't think so.
Well, John, wait a minute.
Personal privilege.
He has basically used his answer to impugn my integrity. Let's be frank here. Oh, wait a minute, Senator.
It's a tough question that Sanders is asking because there's no good answer. But Clinton tries.
You can look at what I did in the Senate. I did introduce legislation to rein in compensation. I looked at ways that the shareholders would have more control over what
Clinton does have some specific, concrete, pro-regulatory positions to point to. As senator, she voted for corporate oversight to prevent Enron-style accounting maneuvers and oppose tax breaks for hedge funds. But she also supported a controversial bill making it easier for banks to go after people in bankruptcy.
I know we live in very cynical times.
Neera Tanden was a top Clinton aide for 15 years. She's now president of the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank. She rejects the idea that Clinton can be bought.
There's never a single time, a single instance in those times where she ever once said, you know, I can't really do this, or even hinted, or even, you know, was elliptical about, I can't do this thing that I think is the right thing to do because of a donor.
My wonderful donors, some of whom are here today.
In December 2007, 10 months before the financial collapse, Clinton made a speech at NASDAQ.
But finally, responsibility also belongs to Wall Street, which not only enabled, but often encouraged reckless mortgage lending.
Homeowners are beginning to go underwater on their loans. Clinton links the mortgage crisis to banks.
I believe Wall Street shifted risk away from people who knew what was going on onto people who did not.
Tanden says the speech was criticized for being too harsh on banks.
I mean, those things look ridiculous now, but this was pre-crisis.
We were in an era of deregulation. There was a notion that the 1930s had regulated us too much. Therefore, the solution was to deregulate.
Richard Silla is economics professor emeritus at NYU. He says beginning in 1998, when Bill Clinton signed an industry-backed bill to deregulate banking, encouraging financial innovation was the rage. Then the bottom fell out. In September 2008, huge financial institutions like Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns collapsed. The stock market crashed.
Let me dive into the bailout bill. You voted yes. How's your constituent mail been running on the bill?
It's interesting because, of course, for the first week to 10 days, it was overwhelmingly negative, with good reason.
In early October 2008, just after the crash, Clinton speaks to Brian Lehrer about a just-passed bill to bail out big banks. Like Senators Obama and McCain, she was for it, after rejecting early Bush administration versions.
I mean, what the Treasury and the administration proposed was a total power grab with no accountability and kind of a take it or leave it attitude, and we left it.
She represented Wall Street, and she'd heard from 50 bankers from all over the state during a conference call to express their alarm.
And, you know, their concerns were that, people were pulling money out of their banks. And we're talking about both, you know, huge banks that were on the call, like a representative from Bank of America, to, you know, tiny community banks.
Banks did get bailed out. Then millions lost their jobs and homes. At the same time, expenses for middle-class Americans were all rising.
So housing costs, healthcare costs have all gone up.
The Center for American Progress's Neera Tanden says income inequality was rising in the 90s, too. But the bottom wages were still rising. Now, they're not.
That is what's driving a lot, in my view, that is what is driving a lot of the anxiety about the inequality debate. And that's all occurred in the aftermath of the financial crisis, in which a lot of decisions made on Wall Street put the wealth of average families who did nothing wrong at serious risk, and it took many years for them to come out of it.
That is part of what's making voters reach for fundamental change. It's Bernie Sanders who's promising to deliver it. I'm handed a press pass to cover a Sanders rally in Keene, New Hampshire. There's a message on it: let's start a political revolution today. Part of Sanders' warm-up playlist, Tracy Chapman's Talking About a Revolution. Before we even get to Sanders, three speakers say the R word. I meet Susan Hay. She's a career coach and Sanders supporter. She likes Clinton, but Hay distrusts her reliance on Wall Street money.
If your campaign is funded in large by the people that we believe have to be fundamentally changed, the candidate whose funding is totally dependent on that, it's hard to see them as the person who's going to make that happen.
Sanders is her revolutionary. Clinton is her reformer. If the revolution doesn't come, she says, she'll choose reform. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.